We also have idolatry. I think most of us understand that, you know, that looking to other gods is idolatry. But also sometimes things that can just, anything that impedes your relationship with God himself is a tie. Worldly music can be a tie. And this was one I had a little bit harder time understanding until I remembered back. I don't know, this is going to tell my age, but I remember back when I went to Song Remains the Same as the concert that Led Zeppelin did. I don't know if you guys don't look at me so holy. I went to this Led Zeppelin concert, and in that thing, there was a time when he took this sword and he was saying something that you couldn't understand. And he took the sword and he went, and whatever it did, I felt something change. I was an unsaved heathen, and I thought, whoa, something just happened. But I didn't know what it was. But see, what I didn't know or wouldn't have cared is that they were very much into satanic things. And this guy who was using the sword, there was undoubtedly some kind of incantation that he did in that process. And so, you know, because, but that was because that's why it was his thing. And so he's introducing the whole audience. What an evil way. But he was introducing the whole audience to Satanism through whatever that incantation was. Again, renounce, repent, just break agreement with it, and it's done. You don't have to live with it. You don't have to be under that spirit the rest of your life. You can be out of it as soon as you decide, make that decision. Flipping over here, vows and curses. You see, these are the areas that confect the area of the spirit because they represent covenant with forces of darkness. Vows or agreements with Satan obviously are an issue, but the thing that you'll actually find is what it will create for most people is confusion. Because when they step into Christianity, now they have this other allegiance and there's a duality of things going on. And so I had one young man who came in and he was having a hard time with his Christian faith because he still had those satanic vows that he had tied to. And so when we broke those vows, he was able to walk and learn a faith that really was working for him at that point. So, hallelujah. Moving on. Body realm. And see, the body realm is basically going to be primarily those things of sexual contact. And I think we're going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. But you know, this, the casualness of sex in the generation that we live in has created great bondage and great brokenness throughout the lives. And I think this is probably one of the primary ways that Satan has stolen from the family, because the assault breaks up families. And so what we look at is that, you know, again, recognizing it and breaking those associations, breaking those soul ties that were created, breaking those emotional ties that are there. And when you break off those things, again, you don't have to walk with this thing forever and ever. You can break it and move on. Hallelujah. Now, pornography is not a victimless crime. You know, sometimes people think, well, there's no harm in it. There's harm in anything that's not of God. We've got to hate the things that God hates and love the things that God loves. Because when we do that, now we can begin to actually have a witness and a testimony. But see, the pornography is something that is so pervasive that it is even in major ways in the church. But no one talks about it. No one releases it. No one understands. No one wants to look and understand how devastating it can be. But I've seen a gentleman come to me who couldn't even go an 8-hour shift at work without medicating, let's say. Okay? Not an 8-hour shift. And so in his journey, he had progressed from an occasional pornography use to constant, continuous, and then more and more yucky and yucky, yucky. It just continued, you know, the bondage only gets deeper as you go into it. So, again, you know, his amazing thing was, with all that, within an hour and a half, then he was able to be free for, you know, his first time. And years and years and years. The sad news is, and ultimately, he made other choices down the road, but he was able to do those things because God is greater than that issue. Abortion is one of those things that can be it carries a huge impact and a weight. The weight is, and the emotion is so can be so heavy that it brings people into something that's a, I don't know how to say it, but it pulls them into like a vacuum, like a black hole. I had one lady who came to me, and she and her husband came, and they didn't specifically come for a sozo. They came to have a little counseling session, and it turned into a sozo. But in the middle of the sozo, the subject of abortion came up, and she immediately goes into this fetal position underneath my desk. And she's totally non-responsive. And her husband's sitting there looking at me, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, what do we do? I'm like, I'm going to have to call the guys in the white coats to come and get her, because I don't know what, I mean, I'm trying to talk to her. She's not responding. She's not doing anything. It's like, how, what are we going to do? And see, when you don't know what to do, you just ask Jesus. You just call on the Holy Ghost. Because see, the Holy Ghost always knows what to do with those situations. And so he just basically just said, just bend down and speak into her real calmly and tell her just to look for Jesus. So I just did that. And he said, now give it a little moment. And he said, now tell her to take his hand and walk out of there. And she did, just like that. Just back to normal. And she began to describe, when she came back, the hole that she had gone into. And so we were able to deal with that more effectively now that we understood that it was there, and be able to bring her back into a place of wholeness and peace in every area of her life. And so, and she's, you know, these people are actually still good friends of mine for and have been for a long, long time. You know, you will find in this process that you make really quality friends with the people, with a lot of the people that come in. So now we're ready for the soul. See, our belief system is all registered up in the soul. Our soul is those mind, will, and emotions. All that mind, will, and emotions, those things, that's where everything that we believe is held. Those things that we believe that drive our character, it drives who we are. But, you know, when something's gone wrong, it creates a stronghold in our thinking. It creates a stronghold that the enemy is oftentimes able to use against us. A stronghold is just defined this way. It says, a fortified system of thought or imaginations empowered by emotions that produce actions, reactions, lots of reactions, and behavior patterns contrary to the mind and nature of Christ. That's what really happens, is our reactions are coming. They're just reactions. They're not thoughts. They're not true responses. They're reactions. But when our reactions don't line up with the Word of God, when our actions don't line up with who and what we are as a Christian, then there's something we need to look at. There's a stronghold that's guiding that behavior. In that, the number one key here is to identify what the enemy, the legal right that the enemy has been using and exploiting to create those strongholds. Once we do, then we want to repent. We guide them through repentance. We guide them through understanding and renouncing the associated emotions. And then we break it off. Unforgiveness. We're going to talk about forgiveness and the lack of forgiveness all throughout this time. But unforgiveness is probably the major access for the enemy in the life of the individual. Moving each person who comes in into a place of forgiveness is probably the backbone of what we do in Sozo. It's the main thing. And those who have been through know that when you go through and you go through, I have so many people who come who tell me, well, I've already forgiven, but they say something different when they leave. You're going to understand that as we go. Lies. Lies are often at the root of the strongholds and will control much of your behavior and choices when those are planted there. When someone believes that the lie, that it affects everything that you see or think. Everything, you run it through this filter of what the lie is. There's a filter that goes on, and that lie is the filter for everything that comes in or out of your thought life. And so what we do is we look to identify these things, because these are often the things that are underlying our major defense mechanisms, or not things like our addictions and things like that. Those are the things that the lies are what empower that. So as we look to them, as we understand it, we break those lies. We subject it to truth. What we do simply is just uncover the lie. I have them renounce the lie. And as they renounce the lie, then I ask the Holy Spirit to show them truth. to show truth. And as we ask the Holy Spirit to show truth, he's so kind and generous and wonderful. He wants you healed more than we can want you healed. And he shares truth with you. He shares truth that changes your life permanently. Permanently. We need to uncover the lies simply because, see, Satan is the author of the lies. There's no truth in him. Anger likes to pair up with fear and control and pride. Anger is probably one of the things, and for me, personally, that was my biggest deal. Because my family worshipped anger. And so that was something that I had to come to a grips with and understand. There's something God wants to break here. And it took me forever to even just understand that this wasn't just the way life was. Sometimes when we come from dysfunction, that's all we know. Basically, some people had tried to come up and tell me this was an issue, but I wasn't hearing it. And so now when God will come in these sessions, he'll begin to put his finger on these things. And he'll be able to show you how to break out of it. Because, see, anger only destroys you. It even has physical symptoms that it causes within your body. Words can be just as abusive. The verbal abuse that happens, particularly if it's from your parents, that verbal abuse can be more destructive than the physical abuse that often accompanies it. I can testify. The physical abuse, I could see and understand, and I knew that was wrong. The verbal abuse was something that was so just pervasive that I didn't even understand that it was wrong. But when God shows it to you, when God sets you free from it, it totally transforms your personality. Trauma. Trauma can create legal rights for the enemy through fear. There's an association. See, a lot of times we'll have trauma. And a lot of times trauma comes in such a way, for example, you have a car accident. You know, and the trauma happens suddenly. And you never really actually even process the information. Our body, I think, will sometimes not process the information to such a degree, that it'll even store the things that we've seen or we experienced. I had a session with one lady at one point in time, and when she began speaking about this incident with her dad, and where he was really angry, and he was just screaming at her, and he was taking her from her mom that had just gotten divorced, and he was in the car, and she wouldn't, and he just slams on the brakes, and when she was talking about it, you could actually see the imprint of the dash on her forehead. Because our body doesn't process it. We haven't fought it through. But every time she was in a similar situation, she began to respond out of the same fright and out of the same anger and out of the same desire to just run away from it that she had in that moment until she got healed. That's how God can begin to set us free. He begins to move in our hearts and in our minds to unlock and show us some things she didn't even know that was in there. She didn't have a conscious recollection of it at first until she began to speak about it, and all of a sudden it just came out. And then we worked through the forgiveness issues. We worked through the anger issues and all those things. And as all that fear that began to surface, we began to work through the fear issues, renouncing those things and breaking them off. And she was able to walk out of there without having that response mechanism in her anymore. A fear. There can be a fear that's a wonderful thing. The fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing. The fear that keeps you out of the way of a speeding car is a wonderful thing. There's a certain amount of instinct that God has put in us that's a wonderful thing. But see, God has got one idea for it, but the enemy has a whole other plan for it. And what he does, he wants to steal from us. He wants to take from us with fear. Fear can cause you to be paralyzed, or it causes you to flee. And sometimes people don't even have a real... they don't even feel that they have a real choice but to flee because of what fear has done in their life. It can be debilitating. But I will say this. All of fear, anxiety, phobia, compulsion, all those things, God is more than a conqueror. He's more than a deliverer. He's more than a healer. What we've done so far is this has kind of described the problem. Tomorrow we'll begin to describe how do we deal with it. How do we process these things? We'll begin to walk you through. It is really very, very simple. process and procedures don't require big thick. I mean, when I first got into it, I read a manual that was about this thick to go do deliverance, okay? And I was trying to memorize all of it, and I was just like, this is not that thick, and half of this is the prayers. Okay? It's simple. It's super simple. And then, so God wants us to understand these things. We'll deal with more all those subjects in a little bit. It's know that love has an answer for every one of these issues. Love has an answer. And with that, I wanted to just invite Adam and Jennifer to come up and just share their story, because love had an answer. Hallelujah.
Well, good evening. My name's Adam Cole, and this is my wife, Jennifer. And this is going to be kind of fun. What we want to do is share with you this evening. Some of you know us, some of you don't. We want to share with you our story, our walk through receiving Sozo here, and our walk through inner healing and deliverance, and what that did for our lives and our marriage, and where we were when we came here. Basically, our story was one of a marriage that was really, it was an impossible and hopeless situation. And our story is one where heaven just absolutely came crashing down on both me and my wife. And we went from being believers in Jesus to actually being followers of him. And God actually, he reached down and he picked us up. And he put us in a position where we could look up. And now this is our ministry, and we move out and we share. It's been an amazing ride. And we rediscovered our identities and who we are. Who we are in Christ. See, my problem, like so many guys, is I had a mistaken identity for so many years. Jennifer and I had built a very successful, about mid-sized healthcare company over a number of years. It was very successful. But I placed every part of my emotional welfare and well-being in this business. This business was the product of a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, 100-hour work weeks. Yes, I know those. And the problem when you place your identity in anything of this world, the problem with this is now the world has a lot to say about what you think and believe and how you feel emotionally. And I would ride this roller coaster of emotions, right? If the business is doing great, I'm good. But if the business is doing poorly, I'm down here, I'm on a low. And I would go up and down. My life operated in just about everything but the authority of Jesus. And while I was consumed by my business, I was totally blind to how the enemy was going after me, my wife, my two children. I didn't understand the enemy's plan to steal, kill, and destroy my family. And here's the problem. Ignorance to the spiritual battle does not mean you're not in one. Right? And so while people were putting me on this pedestal for my business, my marriage and my home life struggled. And for 12 years, our marriage was one where we constantly fought. We were very competitive with one another. It was not a place of nurturing love and support. And I did a very poor job of showing my wife who Jesus is. And Jennifer would say things to me like, "Hey, Adam, I want you to be a spiritual leader." Right? Anybody ever heard that? I had no idea what that meant. I tried. I went to church. Right? I was actually in Bible study. I thought that would accomplish it. I had no idea of what my spiritual condition was. None whatsoever. And I'll tell you what it was. It was full of greed, lust, anger, fear, pride, selfishness. That was my spiritual condition. And Jennifer's over here saying, "You want me to submit under that? Really? This is what I'm called to do? Submit under these things?" So here's the thing, guys. Your wife knows your spiritual... You can't hide it from her. She knows your spiritual condition better than anybody on the face of this earth. She's supposed to. And so for 12 years, this continued. But about 2.5 years ago, in our marriage, the wheels came off the bus. Right? And our life imploded. And things went from bad to worse in a hurry. And I and Jennifer, we entered this world of oppressive fear and darkness like we had never known. I was in a place where I slept 2 to 3 hours a night. I had lost about 40 pounds. I couldn't eat. I had lost all hope. And after many months of this, things got to the point where it broke. And the two of us filed for divorce. We entered into a custody battle, an in-house separation, and we both just waited in fear over what would happen to us and what would happen to our children. And our custody battle, what happened was our custody battle started spilling over into the workplace. We tried to keep this out of our workplace. We really did. But when you're in that much pain and when you're in that much hurt, it's just some point. I was a zombie in meetings. People would just say, "What's wrong with you? You look awful." It was just too painful. And what I love is Jennifer's found this beautiful quote. It's actually, I think, Tony Evans is the person who used it. But it's the quote is, "Sometimes when things are falling apart, they may actually be falling into place." And what happened was an employee of ours reached out and called Jennifer. And just said, "Jennifer, would you please go meet with a pastor at my church?" And that was Anna, Pastor Anna. And Jennifer did. She went and she prayed with Anna. Wow, I've told this story many times and still chokes me up sometimes. That night, Jennifer came into my room because we were in an in-house separation, separate rooms. And she said, "I don't want this divorce anymore. I know you don't trust me, but would you please go meet with a pastor at this church as well?" And I did. A day or two later, I went and I prayed with Pastor Chuck. And what I like to tell people is I met the Holy Spirit for the first time in my life, and the Holy Spirit set me free. I met Jehovah Rapha. And the enemy fought so hard to maintain his hold on me. I remember the lies I was hearing. I'd hear things like, "Adam, this marriage is not fixable. Who do you think you are trying to fix this marriage? You're going to end up hurt worse unless you just check out now. It's too broken. There's too many pieces that cannot be put back together. You don't even have anything to go back to. You guys have been dysfunctional for 12 years. This just can't happen." And I'll tell you, our marriage was about, it was healthy in about a week. 1 week. And it's one of the most common questions I get is guys will ask me, they'll say, "Really? 1 week?" And when I say 1 week, I don't mean that it worked. I mean it was a safe, healthy, nurturing, loving relationship in 1 week. It doesn't mean we didn't have conflict, but we came to it from a place of love and forgiveness. And so our marriage was functional about a week. And it's better today than it was then. And so guys will say, "Okay, give me a how, Adam. Give me a how." And what I like to, I mean, really, because I've never seen anything like this before. And people that were around us had never seen anything like this before. And I like to tell them, here's what we learned with inner healing, with Sozo, with deliverance. Here's what happened with our marriage. Okay? See, the way we used to do marriage for 12 years was, okay, so Jennifer's here, I'm here, right? Together, we're believers in Jesus. And we had our salvation. We had our salvation locked up. We're going to heaven. I get it, right? But what we used to do is take whatever this thing is here, we used to set it down here out of the way, and we would do marriage this way. "You don't respect me. You don't love me. Well, if you just change this one thing about you, I'd be great." And we would go back and forth like this. So what we did, the change here was instead of doing this, "You don't love me. You don't respect me. Change you. I'm trying harder. back and forth, back and forth, is we just threw that thing out the window. That just was gone. We did, instead of this, I turned and I did this. And my emotional well-being and my stability and my strength and my power and my freedom and my wholeness comes this way. This is what I learned. And when it comes this way, when I'm free and whole, then the love of God can flow through me to Jennifer. And Jennifer's over here doing the same thing, seeking her own personal transformation. And then this is how marriage works. And after this, we were called. We've been called into ministry. This was so radical, and there was such a transformation in us that we felt we needed to share this with others. That we had a heart for so many marriages, so many hurting people that just needed to learn this. If they could just learn this. And so at some point, God reached out and said, you guys now, after your marriage has been healthy and restored, and after I've done the impossible, I want you guys to go do the impossible. And he's blessed us with the opportunity to be a part of so much. You know, Jennifer and I probably, between the two of us, we probably do inner healing combined, maybe 20 to 50 hours a week. It's a pretty significant investment of time, but we see amazing healings come from it. Other marriages have been healed because of ours. We've seen addictions broken off, identities restored, sexual identities restored, depression. Just really, really amazing stuff. And so it's really an honor and a privilege. And it just tells me just how much God loves Jennifer and me, that he would do this for us. He is the healer.
And really glory to God for all of that. You know, Adam said, well, what has this ministry meant to our lives? This ministry has meant life for me, for Adam, and for our children, life. The enemy wanted death. That's what he wanted. That's what he was after. But only because of Jesus did we survive. Okay? It's not about coming up with strategies or coping mechanisms or anything like that. No, thank you. It was through the healing power of Christ that we were brought to freedom. Okay? So you follow the call of God on your life for this, because everybody needs sozo. Everybody needs inner healing. Everybody needs deliverance. Okay, and guess what? You can do this because you have the backing of heaven behind you. Okay? And you are especially anointed to destroy what tried to destroy you. Okay? So anything in marriages, addictions, wrong identity, whatever, you get a special touch in those areas where you can destroy what tried to destroy you. Amen to that. Okay? You are called to be unrejectable. Okay? I heard a beautiful testimony from somebody from Bethel where they said, you are unrejectable. You are unoffendable, unstoppable, and unrelenting in your pursuit of freedom for yourself and for others. Keep your love tank full. My ability to love people now is not based on their ability to love me back. You see, when you get into this business, well, people are going to hurt you. Adam has a great quote, hurting people hurt people, but free people free people, okay? So people are going to cancel on you. People will not do what you tell them to do, okay? And you're going to fall into the trap of thinking, well, I could have spent more time with my family, and I don't even charge for this, or, you know, whatever, okay? Okay, don't fall prey to any offense, okay? You are truly the hands and feet of Christ. So you say, God, what have you put in front of me today? I'm going to do that because I'm obedient to you. Okay, I don't need anything else from anybody else. I don't need the accolades. I don't need any of that because I'm okay here. Okay? So, I want you guys to stand up and we're going to declare something. All right. So I'm going to say a sentence and I want you to declare it. Say, I am unrejectable because of the love of God. Let that hit you. I am unrejectable because of the love of God. Okay, repeat after me. I am a daughter or a son of the Most High God. Because I know who I am unoffendable. He makes me fearless. He makes me unstoppable to set people free through the power of the cross. Amen. You can do this. So go for it and let the Lord put it together because it is beautiful. And this will change lives and it will change your life over and over and over. And I never, ever get tired of seeing the Lord free people. It is awesome. Every moment. Awesome.
All right, good.
Hallelujah. And if you can, you can be seated here for just a moment because we want to just move into an exercise here in just a moment. But something I want to add to the testimony. And no, stay up here. You're good. Don't be sneaking off. But something I want to add to the testimony is because, see, they got one of those really special calls. What was that, about maybe a month into this? And he got a call from his lawyer. And see, his lawyer invited him to lunch, and he was going to pay. That's a special phone call. But see, he wanted to know. He said, I've done this divorce thing so many times, all this, and I've never, ever, ever seen one turn around. What happened? How did you do that? Because see, the testimony of Jesus is being sent forth in what God is doing. Hallelujah. Amen? All right. So, in just a second here, what I want to do is I'm going to have Adam just lead us in some forgiveness prayers. Okay? And so what I want you to do right now is just position your heart before God. Because, see, this is not about fancy words. It's not about big testimonies or anything else. This is about the Spirit of God moving across this place, touching each and every one of you, touching every one of us to change us, to mold us, transform us, set us free. Hallelujah.
That's great. Yeah, I highly recommend you do this corporate healing prayer, listening prayer in your churches. A month or two ago, Chuck and I were debating the value of this because as deliverance ministers, you really love to work one-on-one with people. You like to get in there, deal with their issues, and dig really deep. Okay, well, that's a little difficult with 100 people. And so we were debating, okay, well, you know, what is... So anyways, we had the opportunity at a men's retreat about a month ago to do this together. And we ministered to about 100 guys simultaneously. And out of that prayer session, one guy came to Christ. One guy forgave his wife for an affair. Some really amazing healings. One guy was healed from a family suicide and abandonment. It was just a testimony after testimony after testimony. So the point is, and the lesson was, we don't put God in a box and say it has to look this way. God can heal right now instantly. Right? So, everybody just kind of relax. And let's go enter in. Just take a big, deep breath. Just release it. Big, deep breath. And release. Just let your mind go blank. Let your mind go black. And I want you to feel and sense the presence of God in this room. Be aware of His Spirit. Feel the weightiness of His presence keep your spirit, your mind, and your emotions fixed on Him. Then I want you to ask Him this question. Father, will you show me someone that I need to forgive? And just let a name, any name, it may be random, someone you haven't thought of in 10 years. It may be a picture or an image. Someone who has hurt you deeply. Or someone you haven't even realized hurt you deeply. But the Father knows. And then once you have this person, I want you, in your mind, with your will and your emotions, to come into agreement with this prayer and pray it. Father, I forgive. In obedience to your word, I forgive, and you can just say the name quietly. And then I want you to name the offense. Was it abandonment? Was it rejection? Was it criticism? Were they harsh words? Was it defilement? I want you to name the offense. Take a checkpoint of how this person makes you feel. And then tell the Father, Father, I forgive them for this. I release this offense. I don't need it. And I don't want it. You can have it, Father. Do whatever you want with it. I give it to you. And then what I want you to ask the Father is, Father, what do you want to give me in return? And just listen for what the Father tells you. We're going to make an exchange here. We're going to exchange the hurt and the pain, the offense, for what God has for you. Father, I receive this offering from you. And Father, I cancel any debt that this other person owes me. I sever all ungodly soul ties. They don't owe me anything. Not even an apology. I believe you will restore anything I lost as a result. Who received something? Just see a show of hands. Okay. Relax, close your eyes. I want you to come into agreement with this prayer. Father, I repent for any part of my identity that isn't from you. Father, what do you want me to know about my identity? And just allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your identity. Father, what do you call me? Okay, let your mind go. Let it go blank and ask the Father this question. Father, will you show me a picture or an image of what your love looks like? Allow the Father to speak to your mind and to your imagination. Did anybody receive a picture or an image? Okay. The reason for that is I find that to be a beautiful tool. You know, the enemy does everything he can to shut down our imaginations, right? He gets us in fear. If you're in fear, you're in your imagination. That's where the enemy works. But he gets you to shut that off from God and operate over in his domain. And so part of the renewing of the mind and the transformation is fixing our mind on things of God. And so I find when he gives us pictures or images or things like that, these are tools and places that we can go when we want to find his presence. Very powerful. We're giving, the enemy's had our imagination too long. We're giving it back to God.
And I want to just stay right there in that place, connect back with him. Father, as we're connecting back with you, let's just ask him, Father, is there a lie that I'm believing about you? Whenever he shows you there, to say, Father, what is your truth for me? And just receive that truth. Whatever that first thing he begins to show you, that his truth sets you free. Father, your word says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, today, I renounce and break agreement with the condemnation of the enemy. I renounce and break agreement with the shame, with the pain, with the brokenness. I renounce and break agreement with the trauma and the spirit of trauma. I renounce and break agreement with the rejection and the lies of rejection. Lord, today, I choose to receive what you're promising me. Your word says that we are sons. Your word says that you intercede over us. And your word says that we can never, not ever, be separated from this love that we have in you. Today, Lord, I receive that love. I appropriate it into my life. Hallelujah.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we seal all that the Holy Spirit has done this night. I thank you, Father God, for all that you have spoken and poured into everybody here tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you will bring it to remembrance in the days to come, Lord Jesus, that the enemy will not steal anything, but that the Holy Spirit will bring that quickening, Father God, as we're being led by the Spirit and no longer by the flesh or by the soul. The Spirit rises up in ascendancy. And we thank you, Father, that we are yielding to that this night, learning how to truly stay connected with you continuously, continuously abiding in Christ, that you have caused your Son, Jesus, to live and dwell within us, and the kingdom of God being within us, so that we may release that kingdom, dominion, and authority. So, Father, upon everybody here, Lord God, I ask that you set your holy fire of protection around about every person, every marriage, all their families, Father God, their ministries, their businesses, Father, their children, their children's children. Set your glory, your holy fire of protection around about them. And I thank you, Father, you set and establish your glory in their midst. In the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. Amen. How's everybody doing now? Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, let's just do a little better than that. Come on, let's just give him all the praise. Hallelujah.